Hi, I'm Peter Hill, and this is the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Glad to have your company for another edition of the D Word podcast. This week, my guest is Eric Cole from Songs and Smiles, a dementia resource in Texas that started after a family celebration.
Songs and Smiles started as a birthday party. A birthday party for my mother-in-law, Trish. My wife, Cheryl, and I are behind Songs and Smiles. Cheryl always enjoyed planning meetings and events for her mom. And her mom liked to celebrate milestones and had a big 60th birthday party, a big 70th birthday party. We had originally hoped there would be a big 80th birthday party. But by the time she was approaching 78, her Alzheimer's had progressed to the point where we knew that we needed to do a party now. This would be the last time that she could probably really enjoy it and recognize a lot of the family. And so Cheryl started planning a birthday party for her mom's 70th birthday. And we needed to get the whole family to Texas in the summer when it's super hot. So we knew we had to do something very fun. And so she rented a nice venue where the kids could all run around. And we got some of our friends who do improv comedy to come do a show for the family. And then we invited some of our nieces and nephews, so Trish's grandchildren, to get their band back together. They had traveled as a bluegrass band across America for a few years, but it split up and gone their separate ways. They hadn't played together for a few years, but they said, yes, for Grandma and for Aunt Cheryl, we will get the band back together and play for the family. So a couple months before the party, Cheryl came home and she said, you know what? We have a great venue and great entertainment. We should open this to the public and let's raise some money for the Alzheimer's Association. And so we did. We took part of the family party, the Sunday afternoon part. We asked the children, is it okay if the band plays for the public and we put you on posters? And they said, sure, we'll do it. And so then we had to come up with a name. So we said, well, we got some music, we got some comedy, we came up with Songs and Smiles. And that event back in 2017 was the origin of Songs and Smiles. We had a great Sunday afternoon event. We ended up raising more than $20,000 for the Alzheimer's Association that afternoon. And we learned that the concept of Songs and Smiles, the concept of facing Alzheimer's, a horrible disease, with joy, was meaningful. It resonated with people. After the event, people said, when's the next Songs and Smiles event? Of course, we were caring for Cheryl's mom and she was progressing with her Alzheimer's. So we said, there is no more Songs and Smiles. For the next couple of years, we were busier and busier caring for her. Sadly, she passed suddenly in 2019. Shortly after that, we decided to honor her. And because we had learned so many things, to turn Songs and Smiles into a nonprofit organization. And we wanted to help other families get through the Alzheimer's journey, not just to get through, not just to survive, but to stay connected, because we realized how important that was for our family to look back and to have memories such as a birthday party or gatherings, or that we stayed connected during the challenging journey. So Songs and Smiles started with a birthday party.
That's it's a great story to kick off with. And a couple of things come out of it, really. I love the title, Songs and Smiles, but some people kind of tend to shy away from the comedy, the laughter, You can still have good times, but you know, they tend to concentrate more on the darker side of dementia.
Yes.
So I think it's great to open up the joyful side, if you like.
We're trying to fill a little niche because we do feel that if there's a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, someone has someone in the family living with any form of dementia, I start searching, Googling for dementia care, Alzheimer's, it's easy to get into a lot of negativity and gloom and doom very quickly. It's also easy to get into a lot of science and medical jargon. And so we want to come into a little niche. We want to be very authentic with it. We never want to say that this is an easy journey or take it lightly. We know how hard it is. We know how challenging it is. We know it's a journey that's filled with frustration and sorrow. But we also know that there can be still joy in that journey. So we're trying to help people find those moments of joy and connection, even during a challenging journey.
Yeah, and it can be very sad and isolating, can't it? Families lose touch, friends lose touch, and occasions aren't celebrated anymore, which is, really sad when you can still do, all those things.
Yes, that isolation, that's our main focus, is keeping families connected. We believe that Alzheimer's destroys connections, that it starts by destroying connections between a person and their own memories, but it also too often destroys connections in families. Like you say, people stop visiting because they don't know what to say, or people... Sometimes siblings are at each other just over what kind of care or how much money we should spend on the care. And so siblings start arguing. And sometimes people say, let's not celebrate the holidays anymore because it'll just be weird. And so families get disconnected. We are working. Our actual mission statement is keeping families connected during the Alzheimer's journey. So everything we do is about building connections, because we know that the journey can too often destroy those connections.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
We are so glad there are so many smart people looking for a cure and looking at the medical side. We've chosen not to deal with that too. We pay attention to the news and we try to pass things along as appropriate, but we like to tell people we're not focused on the cure. We'll let other people take care of that. We're focused on care. And there are so many beautiful resources. I really appreciate you inviting me on your show today. We have a number of followers in the UK. And sometimes we think there is actually more going on, especially with music and dementia care over in Great Britain than there is in the United States. And some of the things we're trying to copy, basically best practices, we look at groups over there like international, what's IMN stand for? International Music, I can't remember. There's actually a Songs and Smiles group over in the UK. I think if you search for Songs and Smiles on the internet, if you don't find us, you'll find a group that's intergenerational music making. That's what IMM, that they do a Songs and Smiles program. That's what they call it, that they invite mothers of young children to come to meet with the elders and sing together. And I'm getting a little off track on your Original question, but
no problem at all.
We are definitely. It's all about connections with us. That's why we started with music, because music is just a great way to connect people. It starts well. We can all relate. We can all relate to hearing a song that takes us back somewhere. It takes us back to high school, or takes us back to a first love, or takes us back to our childhood. But we try to take the music further than that, that it's not just the music connecting us with their own memories, but letting music connect groups of people, connect families together, connect communities together. So we do sing-alongs. When I lead a sing-along, and I've now presented more than 500 sing-along shows here at care facilities and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and a few other parts of the country, I go in with a TV screen with the words up behind me. It's similar to karaoke. Okay, some people will say, "Oh, you're doing karaoke," and it's true in a way. That's an easy way for someone to relate to it. We do something a little different, though. We use custom recordings and videos. We start by putting the music in a little lower key, make it easier for people to sing and older ears to hear. We don't use bouncing ball and a lot of complicated graphics on the screen. We use high contrast lettering, page flips, graphics to make it very clear what's coming next. And some of the songs simplify just to make them singable. Like I was just working on a song yesterday. We have Valentine's Day coming up, so I'm adding some songs about love. I added you probably know a Queen song, a crazy little thing called Love.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when Queen sings it, it's the whole group singing and there's echoes. When I want to do that in a sing-along, I have to determine what line, what part people want to sing. Sometimes it's the lead vocal. Sometimes it's the background. It's a mix, and just have the one melody line. So song like that needs to be simplified in a way so that people can enjoy singing it together. I should say that is an anomaly. That's one of the newest songs that I sing. Since I'm dealing with the age group, typically I focus mostly on age 75 and over, though of course I see people even younger than myself all the time. But generally, older ages. So I typically do songs from the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Rarely anything more recent than the 1970s.
Yeah, but that, you know, I guess as things move on, that our range in terms of music will move on as well, and you know you will get into the 1980s.
We wonder about that because of course the 80s is when music changed and we all of a sudden had music videos and different sources. So it may be maybe the 80s a little bit, but beyond that I don't think there's universal music as much. There are fewer songs where some of the standards continue to get passed down year after year. One thing that surprised us a little bit, but we sing some songs that were written in the 1800s or the early 1900s. No one around is old enough to remember when they were first hits on the radio, but great songs get passed down through generations. I often hear from people, my parents sang that song to me. My dad sang that to my mom all the time. They remember it from their own homes growing up. When we sing song like "Let Me Call You Sweetheart" or "Has Anybody Seen My Gal" or Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer. Songs that are almost universally recognizable, and so allows people to feel very comfortable and allows people to sing together. But as I say, I do mix in and newer songs. That Queen song I mentioned is from the late 70s. And I do a few songs that are a little more recent. So we'll see. Time will tell whether we'll do more from the 80s and 90s. Yes. And we love all that research. It just confirms what we already knew. Our website includes a lot of information and links to a lot of that research and studies. We try to make it in a very accessible way. So if someone really wants to get into the scientific part, they'll find links on our site to go visit other places. But we do believe music makes a powerful connection. And I love those studies that have proven it, but we knew it all already. We knew just taking care of my mother-in-law, and she lived with Alzheimer's for more than 10 years. And Cheryl and I were her primary caregivers. And when I would take Trish, on an outing, maybe take her to a doctor's appointment, I learned to have her favorite music ready to play as we drove, and we would sing together. Especially as conversation became more difficult, we could still enjoy music together. It could actually change her mood. We saw the last few years of her life, she lived in a memory care facility, and it became increasingly difficult for my wife to visit her mom, because she was so different. And so she was grieving as the disease progressed. And Cheryl realized that if there was someone presenting music at the facility, that she could sit with her mom and that they could enjoy the music together. And an hour would fly by. And she said that was an easier visit. And so part of the reason I go into care facilities right now is to make easier visits for families who are there, and even for the professional caregivers who are there. Give them some time where they're a little less stressed, where they can enjoy interacting with the residents, and where everyone can just feel comfortable and just leave the worries aside for a short time. Anyway, so we knew all those things, how music was powerful, even before we started reading the studies. But now that I've read the studies, I'm so glad that they're there too.
Yeah, you kind of get a hunch for things, don't you? What's working and what's successful. First of all, I've got to congratulate you on the website, which I think is excellent, very bright, very inviting, and contains a whole lot of information that, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you in Texas, me in the UK, or wherever.
Yes.
That universal information is so important. And it's so important for carers. You know, I understand the figures are, you've got 11 million people providing unpaid care for people in the US. We have our, you know, large numbers as well. I think sometimes they get forgotten in this kind of a whole process.
Yes. We learned that firsthand too, as we realized with Cheryl's mom. Cheryl would be at work, maybe you're with some friends, and they would ask Cheryl, "How's your mom?" Well, when you ask someone how their loved one is who's living with Alzheimer's, the answer is never better. They're always doing worse, or maybe hanging in there. Okay. But the problem is we realized that very few people would ask Cheryl, how is she doing? It's so easy to look at the person living with the disease or living with the dementia and forget the person who is providing care. And we are are very much want to draw focus to the caregiver, who is often, in many families, it's typical for one person to be the primary caregiver. And we are, one, trying to get other family members to support that person, but also communities to support that person. It starts by just bringing awareness, realizing how tough it is on that person, but also not just on the primary caregiver, on everyone in the family. We realized also how challenging it is, even for the person. There might be one person who lives with the loved one living with dementia or nearby, and then there may be people who live further away and can only visit once or twice a year. It's difficult on them too. It can weigh on their minds throughout the year. It can be very difficult to see someone's how they've changed in the 6 months since they've seen someone. So we really try to draw attention to the challenges of caregiving and support the caregivers. And so I have a new volunteer who's a writer who's going to focus on developing more content for caregiver well-being on our website. That's something we want to do more of. And we want to just provide some encouragement and some practical tips. That's why we have stories like how to talk with someone living with dementia and stories that just give some good suggestions, ideas, things to try. Everyone's journey is different, but we can at least give people a few ideas to try that might work for them that hopefully will help them out on the journey.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
We get people all the time who tell us exactly that. We put little stories on our website, short stories that we have from caregivers. One of my favorite stories on our website is a short story, little anecdote written by my father. Who had a relationship with my mother-in-law, right? Just visiting and just knowing her for years and years. He became, in her mind, her handyman, which my family thought was very amusing because my dad is not really very handy. But for some reason, my mother-in-law thought if there was something not working in her room, especially a plumbing problem, that maybe you should call your dad, Eric, and he could come fix this. And of course, I would just go with it and say, yes, I'll let my dad know. And my dad got a big kick out of that. But he wrote just a little story just about his memories of his interaction with my mother-in-law. And even a little story like that, just the comments we get from people, I've had a similar experience, or that just brightened my day. That just encouraged me. And some people have written stories just about how hard it is. Some people have written stories just about how they still try to do things with their children. And all those stories are up there, primarily to help people realize that they're not alone, that there are other people going through similar things.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that is such an important message. As well as the songs, you produce a magazine as well.
Yes.
Joyful Memories. First time I've ever come across a dementia-friendly magazine.
I think it is a very unique product. There are a couple people starting to do slightly similar things, but they're different. Anyway, my background is in magazine publishing. I worked for about 25 years in magazine publishing, so I know a lot of talented people. talented editors and designers, we had this idea that we could develop a dementia-friendly magazine. When we started working on it, some people said they weren't sure if that was even possible. We said, we believe it is. One thing people often overlook, often people think that people living with dementia can't read anymore because they don't see them reading. Biggest reason they don't read anymore is because the subject matter, like if you look at a normal magazine, a typical magazine today, it's cluttered. It has small type. It has lots of advertising. And those are things that can be effective for a magazine reader who is not living with dementia, but they're totally confusing for someone who is living with dementia. What our goal was to take the practices, the things that we learned by sharing music, connecting people with music, and translate that into a magazine format. And we believe we've done that because we've seen the effect it has on people. So we have a magazine that has no ads, no small type, no stories continued on the next page, no current events. Just like we do with the music, it focuses on some things from the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. But beyond that, it's timeless values, stories of families, and things that people can relate to. We're definitely thinking intergenerationally here. So we wanted to develop a magazine that would reach people in many stages of the Alzheimer's journey. So if someone's in very early stages, they might want something a little more complicated. We refer them to someone like Mirador magazine out of Oregon, that they have some more challenging puzzles and more current events, a different style of magazine. But for someone who's started to be confused by a regular magazine, our magazine is just 24 pages plus the covers. It's, for one, on very nice paper, because for some people in later stages, just holding the magazine is comforting. So that was important to us. And it's very visual. So people who can't read at all can still enjoy it and interact with the pictures. But we wanted it to be a magazine for people who still could read and enjoy reading, just can't read something long and confusing and that's interspersed with ads or continued on the next page. Everything's contained within itself. So we've heard from caregivers things like, I gave this to my mom. I didn't even know she could still read. And wow, she loved this magazine. We think intergenerationally too. So we love hearing comments like, my 8-year-old granddaughter reads it to my mother, and we hear that more and more, that children reading it with their grandparents or great grandparents. In fact, in our newest issue, just came out, it's musical instruments. Every issue has a different theme. So it's all, we started with gardening and then, dogs. It's been very popular, and moon and stars for something different. And the newest issue is musical instruments. We intentionally did a story about learning to play an instrument that focuses on young children and has a page about the best instruments for children to play and pictures of young children, partly because we found we have some young readers reading with older generations, and also just because grandparents and great grandparents tend to love seeing pictures of cute children too. So it's been very effective, again, in helping people connect with their own memories, but also helping people connect with each other. We're very excited about this project. We just got a big grant from a group in Dallas called AWARE, that gave us a $25,000 grant just to distribute copies in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So we're very excited. People are going to start seeing that all over this area, but we already ship it all over the place. I actually, until recently, I was only offering it in the United States. I did just switch that. So it's an experiment, but it's on our shop now that someone from the UK or Australia or Canada could order it as well. Shipping charges would probably be very expensive, but if someone really wanted to see one, we do print only. People have asked about digital version, but that's not really our audience. Of course, it's very much print oriented. And so actually a lot of the photos that we buy, we only buy photo rights for the print edition too. So we can't put it entirely online. Someone asked about that, but we're very excited about how Joyful Memories magazine is connecting people.
Yeah, I think it's another one to add to my list of really good unique ideas. Sadly, time's kind of moving on and bringing us to a bit of a close. I also want to congratulate you on having one of the best job titles I've ever seen, which is Director of Smiles. And it's the kind of job that I'd look at and think, hey, I'd love to do that.
Smiles are so important because smiles connect people. You can connect with someone with a smile clear across a room, and it's universal. We all smile in the same language. So smiles are very important to us.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Well, Eric, it's been an absolute joy to chat to you here on the D Word. And, thank you for all you're doing. And I would recommend, please, listeners out there, go look at the Songs and Smiles website, because I think it's absolutely great.
Thank you so much.
Many thanks to Eric, and I wish the team at Songs and Smiles every success. Do take a look at their excellent website at www.songsandsmiles.com. Well, that's it for this edition. Hope you join me again soon on the D Word Podcast.